Welcome to Share Truth Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Cedra Sart.
It's really good to be here.
Good. I'm glad.
I'm glad. Always said it at the same time.
Jinx. Gotta buy me a Coke now, apparently.
We both said jinx at the same time. I think we need to, all right, let's just move on from there. Okay. That's not what the show is.
Right.
But if you're joining us, thank you so much for tuning in and for listening.
Yeah.
And if you want to know more about us and what we're up to, you can go to afa.net. And that kind of covers all the things we're doing here at American Family Association and American Family Radio. You can check out, of course, the radio department, and you can see what's going on there. Our stand, The Stand, which is the online blog and the print magazine.
Right.
So if you're interested in that, and our American Family Studios is putting out content, and our American Family News family, they're constantly churning out the news, so you can stay informed of what's going on.
Absolutely. It's like a one-stop shop for everything that you might need.
Speaking of shops, we also have a resource center.
Right,
so if you're interested in any of the things that we have, there's there's lots of, you know, books and DVDs, American Family Coffee, if you enjoy your coffee and you want your money to go to a ministry. That's a good option, and they have different flavors and decaf if that's the way you want to go. So, and all that's at afa.net.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're not familiar with this program, Share Truth Apply Scripture, what we do here is we try to tackle questions about worldview, about spirituality, theology that are particularly concerning to Christians that are about, we say young Christians, and when I think of young Christians, I think, you know, 18 to about mid-30s, mid-30s so that we are covered in that category as well.
When we first started this, it was millennials.
Right.
The millennial age range. And so, like, we kind of used the term millennials.
Yeah.
But it quickly became apparent that we can't do that forever because the millennials are getting older.
They are.
And we're about to hit, we're at 40 now. Just
The oldest millennials are about to be in their, or already in their early 40s.
So eventually we'll be out of the age range. We're
going to be old one day.
I'm wondering if they'll cut us from the show because we won't be in the age range anymore.
No, I think we'll just have more wisdom to impart to young,
so wise.
Young people.
So wise. No.
and it's funny, you never really hear about millennials anymore. Like, it's all the Gen Z, which is fine. I'm glad it takes the pressure off. I mean, because I remember the days where millennial was a word that you would throw out and then people would have all sorts of reactions to that.
some positive, some not so positive, especially when COVID first started. And then you had like all these people, they were still like crowding the beach, and people, like, I'd see people, these millennials out there, I'm like, you're talking to the wrong people.
Yeah.
We're at home with our mortgages because we can't afford the beach.
Millennials can't afford anything.
Yeah, those are those Gen Zers whose parents are paying for their trip. They ain't us.
Right, exactly. So I'm glad.
We love our Gen Z friends. So.
I actually do, and thank you guys for taking the cultural pressure off of us millennials so we can finally rest.
We're so tired.
Well, today's discussion is actually, we're kind of spinning off of a blog that I wrote. And if you want to read it, it's at afa.net forward slash The Stand.
afa.net forward slash The Stand.
Yeah.
And that there's the online blog again and the print magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And a very special person here that's worked here for a long time, Mr. Jeff Chambly, and you know that last name, because his son is sitting in the studio with me right now.
Yeah, we're related.
I mean, that's your father. And we've actually had him on the program before. He's so great. He's got a good presence, good radio voice, and a really good testimony, I feel, to share when it comes to a lot of things. I mean, his walk and then how he raised his family.
Right.
And now he takes the information going out on The Stand, and he creates a radio program for The Stand.
Exactly.
So you can, so if you want to listen and know what's going in to the written content, if you prefer to listen instead of read, there's you another option. So that's The Stand Radio. The Stand Radio, is that correct?
That's what it's called. Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Look, right first try.
So absolutely. You can find that on afr.net. It's a great program too. I mean, I'm proud. I work in The Stand department, and I'm really proud of the work that we do there. And so it is a great place to kind of keep on top of what's going on in that department. It's a group of great, very talented people, and I'm just glad to be a part of that team. And as part of that team, you know, I have to write blogs for the website. And something that me and my wife talk about a lot is parenting. And when your parents, that's basically all you think about is, you know, being a parent. And I've learned a lot, you know, from my now seven years of being a dad. Oh my goodness.
Seems so weird.
I know.
I remember how young we were when I started. We were children.
Yeah, we were literally children ourselves.
I was at your wedding, and yeah, now we're mm-hmm. looking at, you have a 7-year-old child.
I know. I'm
getting old.
Yeah, sometimes I see him and like, there's no way. There's no way he's seven, but he is. And me and my wife, we've grown a lot, and we know that we're going to continue, especially when we move up into the preteen, teen years and all the fun stuff that comes out of that. Not looking forward to that at all. But we try to take in as much wisdom from other people as possible. Anna, especially my wife, is really good about reading books. And she really tries to get me to read the books too. I just don't have patience for books so much. So I got some books on Audible and I'm listening to them. And we're just learning about how to relate to our children in a biblical way, how to be good parents. You know, I mean, we try our best. One of the things that I believe the Lord has been teaching me lately is how to be a trustworthy parent.
Mm-hmm.
And this, what I mean by this is, you know, and this is covered in the blog that I wrote, and we're going to expand on this discussion here on this program. But to be a trustworthy parent, what I mean by that is a parent who the child can come to with anything.
Yeah.
The child is not going to be worried about, oh, the parent's reaction to this thing that I'm going through is going to, you know, it's going to be harsh, or it's going to be, you know, berating, or it's going to be, you know, dismissive, or maybe even, you know, shaming. A parent needs to be a safe place for a child, even if this is a teenager going into a young adult, for this child to go to their parent and to say, hey, this is something that I'm going through. I don't know how I feel about it. I feel far from God, or I'm struggling with this thing, or
yeah.
This person's in my life and I don't know what to do.
Children are going to turn to somebody.
Yeah, they're going to turn to somebody. Mm-hmm. And it really, as the parent, it would hopefully be you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote an article about that, or a blog about that. It's called Are You a Trustworthy Parent? You can read it on afa.net /the stand. But I thought we would kind of go into this idea and expand it a little bit from not just parents, but just as people. How can we be trustworthy people, especially as Christians, so that people can come to us and know that when they come to us with struggles, or when they come to us with things that they're going through, they're coming to a person who's going to listen to them, who's going to be accepting of them and be with them where they are,
mm-hmm.
and not reject them or treat them in a way that
yeah.
really is not helpful.
Yeah, I mean, that's something, and it's kind of hard to do, and also not compromise your beliefs
yes.
and what you know to be true from Scripture.
Yeah.
But what I know to be true from Scripture is that I'm also a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one, you know, I'm also a sinner. I have my own past, the things that I struggle with and I'm working on.
Yeah.
To this day, I'm not perfect,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord is still working on me, so, like, why would I expect this other person that comes to me to be, like, why would I expect them to be different? Why
right.
would I hold them to a different standard than me?
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah. And it's funny, I'm thinking back on, we were just talking about millennials, and I feel like with our generation, I'm just remembering some, like, you know, millennial Christianese back in the day was a lot of focus on, like, authenticity. We want to be authentic, and our generation's all about being real and, you know, just doing
yeah.
life and all that kind of thing. And which that's admirable and fine. I feel like there was this attitude sort of in that bubble of, like, well, what authenticity means is just sort of like being really open and being really at peace with all of our bad stuff, you know, all of the stuff that is actually sinful in our lives, and just
I don't
being,
know, like I think yeah. about that whole idea, and I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever be at peace with my sin.
Yeah,
if I get too comfortable with it,
mm-hmm.
I just, like, I don't want to be comfortable
right.
with it. Which
yeah.
I don't. Some people may be thinking that's not you're taking this and making it something. I was like, but just when I think about it, I don't want to be comfortable with my sin, because
yeah.
then I'm comfortable in my sin.
Right.
I feel like for myself, that is the case. And so I don't want to look back at my sin and stuff. I can look back at it and have the peace and knowledge of
yeah.
knowing that Christ died for me and that sin as well.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be too comfortable in it, you know?
Right, yeah.
And today, I feel like the whole mantra is you are worthy.
Mm.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And I think I've discussed this before.
Yes, yeah.
Because we are not worthy.
Exactly. That's the whole point, right? Yeah, but there is a way, like there is a place for that authenticity that I think is really helpful when it comes to being trustworthy.
Yeah.
Is that you're not lying about yourself, you know? And I think that there are people out there who, you know, they really want to, I mean, and it's all in a noble, you know, mindset. It's like, look, I don't want to appear in a way that dishonors God. And mm-hmm. I'm going to keep myself from this. And I'm going to, you know, really be focused on this. And when I talk to people, it's going to be, I'm talking in this way. And unfortunately, sometimes those people can come across as being a little holier than thou, or a little bit like they're not being honest. Like, you know, they're putting up this front of being such a Christian who's just got it all together, you know, and it can be in this idea of, oh, I just want to be a good example, but nobody's going to really want to come to the perfect Christian with all of their, you know, heartbreak and all of their misery.
I've had that. I've had all this, like, there are times when people who seem to have it all together mm-hmm. now, and they start sharing about their past, and I'm like,
yeah.
This is younger me. I was like, no.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Right. Yeah.
But the thing about being real and mm-hmm. about being open mm-hmm. about things from your past and mm-hmm. things you've gone through and things that you have done is not to promote
right.
the life that you've lived as good and yeah. not to seem proud of it, but to share, like, this is where God has brought me from.
Right, exactly.
This is the person you think I'm so great now. Like, the person you don't know is the person I was, and that is not on my own strength,
yeah.
but Christ. Mm. But I do have a story, and it is very similar to your story, maybe.
Right.
So, I mean, you can come to me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not here to... I'm not here to tear you down.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I feel like that right there is the mark of somebody who is, you know, is really approachable and really trustworthy in the way that, you know, they present themselves as, of course, they're saying, I am not perfect. And look, here are the things that I'm struggling with. And but they're always presenting that whole picture. It's not just on them. The spotlight's not on them. It's on Jesus and the work that Jesus has done in their lives. And they're going to be quick and honest about that any righteousness that's in their lives comes from him. It's not their own. And so they're not going to act in a way where, you know, they have some sort of claim on that
yeah.
goodness. So I think that that's very important. So in the blog, I talked about like three things that would be three ways to make sure your kids are not going to come to you. I was being a little facetious in that because obviously we would want them to. But there are three ways to be the kind of person that no one's going to want to come to with their problems. One of them is kind of the no-brainer, is to be like the judgmental person, right? To be the kind of person who... anytime they come into contact with someone who's undergoing struggles, and hey, maybe this is something that, you know, you're talking to your other Christians and they bring up the juiciest article of gossip in your church that so-and-so is going through a thing, you know, and then the look on your face and the way you act about that particular thing really tells people, hey, you know, I'm disgusted. Like I am looking down, and I am not going to get near that person, or I'm not going to get near that situation in any sort of loving way. That's a quick signal to tell people, hey, don't come to me with your messiness, because this is the way I'm going to treat you.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the story that tells about God, right, is that God is this way. That God is going to, if you come to God with your mess, if you come to God with the sin in your life, this is how he's going to treat you. He's going to look down on you. He's going to treat you as, you know, you should be ashamed,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I don't think that any Christian would really raise their hand and say, yeah, that's the God that I met when I came to him to deal with my sin, is that he was aloof and he was very off-put by who I was. I don't think that we would say that that's who God is. And so when we're representing God to someone who has struggles, and they're coming to us with those struggles, we want to represent him accurately. And so being judgmental and being, no, I'm not good. I think that that's disgusting. I don't want to hear about it. Or, man, you should really be ashamed of yourself. And having no voice of mercy in there, no grace at all, I think is a lie, honestly. Yeah. We are at that point lying about who God is.
I think being able to look someone in the eyes and say, I just feel so blessed that you were willing to come to me with this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel really honored that that you knew that you could come to me,
yeah,
and that I would talk to you, and that we could, you know, we could sort this out, because God's brought me through things too,
yeah,
and I know He can bring you through this. If you are, you know, ready to, I mean, for whatever the situation is, but whatever it is you're in, God can see you to the end of it.
Mm.
If you're willing to turn yourself over to Him, repent of your of whatever sins in your life, you know, get into the scriptures. We can start right here together and pray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can always come to me, and that this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah, and I've heard the argument before too. Not that anyone was really defending being judgmental, you know, in that way. But I've heard the argument that, you know, the way that you deal with sin and the way that you deal with sin in those lives is very, like, you know, you should always act disgusted when you come into contact with sin. And I feel like there's a way to frame that that's helpful and a way that frame that that's not helpful. Obviously, we don't want to be disgusted with the person. And obviously, mm-hmm. we don't want to treat the person as if, you know, oh, well, you're just ruined now, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're just debased and there's really no hope for you. But yeah, we don't lose our hatred of sin, but it's a kind of humble hatred, because we know that that's in our own lives too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't really have a ground to stand on and look down upon someone. So it's really important to remember that as well. Another way to make sure nobody comes to you with their, you know, struggles is to anytime something like this is brought up, you just throw religious platitudes at them. You know,
mm-hmm.
you just throw the Bible verse of the day at them, and you say, you just wash your hands and you're done, you know. And
this is not saying that scripture
right.
is not helpful. That's not
sure.
at all.
Yeah.
But when you just take the same three lines that you know, and that's it.
Yeah.
And you just keep chanting at them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting anything from that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's treating the Bible as if it is some sort of mystical, magical incantation, you know, that, man, you've got this problem in your life, right? Well, I've got a Bible verse for that. Boom, there it is. Mic drop. I'm done. Gone. You know, that it doesn't work that way. You know, when we're relating with people, the person, the connection between two people still needs to be there.
Yeah.
Like, the scriptures are great, and they're honestly going to be the most powerful part of any conversation that you have. But again, there needs to be that conversation. There needs to be a way to apply that scripture, because just blindly throwing it at somebody, I mean, their heart might be hardened by their sin right now. And so you just is throwing seed upon a stony ground, I guess. You need to sit down with them. There needs to be this working out of the truth. There needs to be an application that happens personally, and not just this sort of stiff-arming, like, I don't really want to deal with what's really going on in your heart right now. Here's a religious phrase that I found very helpful, you know, or you share the religious meme with them on Facebook or something, and or you text it to them or whatever.
Yeah.
That really, I think what the message that sends is that Christianity is very superficial.
Yeah.
And it's not really going to deal with you in any sort of real substantial kind of way.
Well, I think the problem is that sometimes we have the same five verses that we just recycle through for all situations.
Yeah.
There is so much more in scripture, and that's why we are Share Truth, Apply Scripture.
Exactly.
I don't think there's a week that goes by that we don't encourage you to get in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Because that and spending time with God are just, you know, things that your whole faith they are built on that.
Right.
Building that relationship with Christ. And so getting in the Word, and God has some specific stories for that will apply to situations.
Yeah.
And when that person comes to you, you'll be ready with it.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, oh man, look, there's this scripture, the story in the Bible, and this is what happened, and this is how I feel like it works into your situation.
Yeah.
And And, you know, God did this with, you know, these people. And I know that he can, I know that, that the God in this scripture is the same God that's with us today. So I'm going to take time and pray with you. And, you know, you just go ahead and whatever's on your heart that you want to share with me, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I want to spend time with you.
Right.
And, you know, I get it. We're busy. Mm-hmm. I do, because I'm busy too. So, probably, I mean, I'm busy. I know, Jordan, I know you're busy.
Very busy.
I keep thinking about it, though. Like, I think about all the things you say with your wife, Anna, and mm-hmm. the time that she spends on her friends and stuff. And I mm-hmm. think, like, all the time that she's spending pouring into people, too.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
I know.
She's got three kids, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we can spend time, and it's like, maybe right now I can't stop and sit down with you, you can come with me right now,
right.
Or you know what, let's go. I'll come over to your house and I'll bring snacks and we're going to sit and hash it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, it doesn't even have to be, you know, you're planning a weekend. Just,
or it could be. It's whatever you want.
It could be. But even just like a text message conversation can be pretty powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of reading and a lot of typing, but it's been done to great effect. So
I like, though, that you wrote this, like, of course, we are expanding upon it, but you wrote it mostly for parents.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking of, like, okay, first off, I mean, I have plenty of friends that I talk to, but something goes down, I'm pulling up my mama on my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, mama, you will never believe. I need you to walk with me through this.
Yeah. That's good.
And she may go, Cedra.
Yeah.
But my mom is like, I know she's going to be there. And then my dad, too. Like, my dad, again, I know they're not perfect people, but I know they're, like, as an adult still to this day, I know that I could call them,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to answer, and they're going to talk to me.
Yeah.
And we're going to work through this.
Well, that's good. And, I mean, it's great that there are trustworthy people out there. Another way to not be a trustworthy person, and this is the third and final one that I wrote down, is by being trustworthy in word only. And I guess if you apply this to being a parent, this is the kind of parent who's like, now kids, here's what's right, here's what's wrong, here's what the Bible says, this is what you need to do. And then the kids see a completely different life unfolding in the parent.
Because they're watching.
Because they are watching. Oh my goodness, they pick up on so much.
I mean, like, I don't have kids of my own,
right.
But you know, but I keep thinking about, like, my nephews and my niece, mm-hmm. and the stuff that they do because they see me do it,
mm-hmm.
and like they get their eye on you and they remember.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, and it's a good thing because if we are aware of that, it should keep us, you know, mindful of how we act. But mm-hmm. being just even as a friend, you know, we say a lot of great things as Christians, and you're sharing the right stuff on Facebook. You're retweeting the right people on Twitter, you know, or X or whatever it's called these days. You know, you're liking the right posts on Instagram. People know that you're a Christian. You like Bible verses. and people know you go to church. You're singing in the choir. You're doing all these great things. But then they see you live, you know, and that doesn't quite match up. It's like, well, you're one person, you know, when you're able to edit yourself on social media, and you're one person when you're in the religious context of a Sunday school or a small group or a church service. But then once you're outside of those contexts, you're just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And why would I come to you? Why not just go to somebody else?
Yeah, anybody that's ridden in my car and watched me in traffic—
Probably, we know. Just a big hypocrite here.
That's what I have to work on is when someone pulls out in front of me in traffic, and I'm like, that big dummy. And then I'm like, that was not kind of me. That was not kind of me.
Right. Hey, but this is the thing is, you know, going back to the authenticity, it's like we're just honest about that.
Yeah,
but on the other side, we do try to work on it.
Yeah,
right?
Work on it. And instead of that big idiot that just pulled out in front of me, I'm like, Lord, bless them and get them somewhere. Get them home safely.
Obviously, they're in a hurry.
They're obviously in a hurry. That's something.
Whatever emergency this is, Lord, please take care.
Yeah, that's the mindset I have to kind of like work on, because that's not what I'm feeling at first.
No,
they almost killed me.
I agree. I get frustrated in driving as well. But so we do want to be honest about our struggles, but at the same time, bringing in the Lord and bringing in the work of Jesus into that picture and saying, look, it's not about my issues. It's mm-hmm. about Christ who's living in me. But also, you know, we don't want to be the kind of person who is making no attempt to live out what we preach mm-hmm. and what we say we believe, because that is going to be quickly picked up on if somebody is struggling, wants to come to you and talk about it. They see how you're living. They see what you claim to believe, and there's not a lot of matching up going on. It doesn't look like you're really concerned about it matching up. And it's like, well, this person's a phony, so why bother?
Yeah, you know? And going back to the parent thing, especially your kids are seeing the person you are and claim to be in church, but then who are you when you get home behind closed doors?
And that's the thing. Look, as a parent, it's scary how quickly we forget that. Look, it's going to sound bad, but these are people too. You know, these are people with minds just like mine. You know, we see them, you know, they're like little people just playing, and like they're in their own little world, but they're not really. They're in your world, and they're just as aware of things as mm-hmm. you are. And so it's really easy to start treating them as if they can't be aware, but they are. And hopefully the Lord would use that to, you know, prick our conscience a little bit and say, hey, you know, this thing that you do habitually, that's not a good example for your children and not Christ-like. Maybe you need to work on that through reading the scripture and praying and maybe talking with other people.
Yeah. Man, I just feel like this 30 minutes has flown by.
I know.
And now we have just a few seconds left to point people back to AFA.net.
Absolutely.
Where you can find everything that we're doing. So thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening.
Yeah, and this is all based on a blog that I wrote. So you can go find that at afa.net/the stand. And guys, until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.